Oh, today is double 11, huh? 11 November 2021. It's a Thursday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 471. Just relax body and mind. Then we will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation, view of the light. Then you can proceed with your awareness-based training. Just relax body and mind completely. Be at ease. Then maintain awareness. For those who are already skillful, you can stay at the heart area, maintain awareness. Then silence everything. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. Just aware. Stabilize the awareness. Maintain the awareness for as long as you can. In between whatever arise, let it arise. Maybe a sensation, a feeling, or a sense of consciousness, or the arising of sankhara activity, a thought. Just acknowledge it, aware. Finish. Then maintain awareness. Aware. Finish. If you are patient enough, not long, you will start to understand that all this thinking or sankhara activity or mind arising means the conscious mind that arises through the mundane thinking. They are dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. And because of that, they exhibit certain characteristics. That's why they are impermanent, means it arises dependent on condition. Then when condition ceases to be, it also ceases. So if you maintain awareness, you will be able to understand the awareness. Is the special quality of the true mind that can allow you to see things as they are, to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to observe without thought, to observe with the silent awareness nature behind. And this is what meditation is all about. Without the silent mind in awareness, you cannot understand. So this awareness-based meditation is a very important training to train your mind not to think, to allow the mundane mind to return to its original state before the thinking, before the arising of the thought process. So remember, the three initial support: relax, maintain awareness, then maintain awareness for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours. Stabilize the awareness nature. Then after that, just trust that nature to do the meditation, the full support. Don't try to know, don't do anything. It's silent everything. If the thought doesn't interfere, then the nature will observe and meditate by itself. Then it will arise a lot of understanding through the ability to observe without conditioning, without thinking, without interference of thought. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. And try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that we need to use to live life, to develop the meditative state of heedfulness in the midst of life. We are in the second paragraph after the adapted verse. The pure virtue of the three treasures. Here, the three treasures refer to the triple gem, Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Refers to the pure virtue of the Buddha and the pure virtue of the Dhamma and the Dhammakaya. So this one, maybe I will explain a little bit. Pure virtue of the Buddha is his perfection of virtue that he has developed. Then through that, he actually fulfilled his cultivation of the 10 perfection to become Sammasambuddha. Then he become the pure virtue of the Buddha. Then second treasure is the Dhamma, pure virtue of the Dhamma. Then the third one is the Aryan Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddhas. So here they use the pure virtue of the Dhamma or Dhammakaya. So here Dhammakaya is the Dhamma body. Kaya is body. Dhammakaya is the Dhamma body. So under the Trikaya teaching of Sakyamuni Buddha, a living being, not necessarily a human being, a living being, they normally have three kayas, three type of body. The first one, as for our case, the human being, we have a physical body and a mind. We call it the Namarupa, the five aggregates of form and mind, the first aspect as a human being. So this one, they call it the functional body that perform the function of what we are. Our case is a human being. So this functional body in Pali is called Nimanakaya. Then there is another body where you cultivate your spiritual understanding. They call it the spiritual body. Your spiritual body is in a way similar to the karmic nature, but instead of karma, it is the spiritual nature, accumulation of all your spiritual cultivation and perfection. That's why they call it Sambhogaya Kaya. Sambhogaya Kaya is that special spiritual body that we have perfected. And as a cultivator, this spiritual body, or what they call the Sambhogaya Kaya, you cannot inherit it. It will not come and support you unless as a living being, or in our particular case as a human being, we develop the ability to meditate. Then the ability to connect to our true nature by locating the silent mind to locate the gateway to our nature. So when you can develop that connection, then you will start to connect. And when you start to connect, you start to inherit. Yeah. And this Sambhogaya Kaya will support you, the spiritual body. That's why for the Buddha's case, it is this Sambhogaya Kaya, because he has perfected it. So underneath the Bodhi tree that night, when he determined to meditate until enlightenment, otherwise he will not arise. So what happened was, when he meditated and he connect, because he has already perfected it, immediately that Sambhogaya Kaya come back to him. So that one merged with his functional body. So when the Nimanakaya, the functional body, received the Sambhogaya Kaya, it transformed the Buddha that so-called form and mind of Sakyamuni Buddha into a Sammasambuddha. You call that the Sammasambuddha because the third body is the outcome of these two. Nimanakaya receiving the Sambhogayakaya, then it will transform that form and mind into a Sammasambuddha that preaches the Dhamma. That's why the third body is a combination of the Nimanakaya and the Sambhogayakaya. Then it transforms it into a Dhammakaya, the Dhamma body that teaches the Dhamma. So that's how the Trikaya teaching comes about. But for ordinary cultivator, you normally don't have the Trikaya. You have the Nimanakaya, functional body. Then you have the mundane mind. Then you don't know how to develop the understanding of the truth, the Buddha Dhamma. You don't know how to connect to your nature and inherit your spiritual nature. So sometimes the sentient being has not cultivated at all. So they don't even have a spiritual body, not to say the unperfected spiritual body. They don't have. So in that case, they only have the functional body and a mundane mind. That's why they will live life like ordinary Puttujana. They will roam in samsara, birth and death, unending cycle of birth and death. So life in samsara is not easy without the Dhamma. But for cultivator, you have the opportunity to develop some form of cultivation, especially for those who walk the Bodhisattva way. You would have accumulated some form of spiritual understanding and perfection. Then when you are born into this conditioned world, as a human being or a living being or anything, as long as that living being or sentient being can meditate and develop the ability to connect to the true mind or the true nature, that it will also inherit, but it will not inherit the perfected Sambhogayakaya. It will inherit the spiritual cultivation that you have developed or perfected or cultivated. Like my nature, this case, at the age of 35 in the year 1989, when I was able to connect back to my nature, I start to inherit. Then not long, maybe in less than a year, 9 to 10 months, I inherited my spiritual nature. So when that spiritual nature comes in, I recall my past practices and all the understanding, all the spiritual understanding and perfection that my nature has developed. So with that, it also enables this form of mind to teach the Dhamma, to share the Dhamma. That's why for my case, I can also share and teach, but I don't have that perfection of spiritual body, Sambhogayakaya, like the Buddha. That's why there are a lot of things that Sammasambuddha can teach or develop understanding. My nature cannot. That's the only difference. So these are the understanding of the Trikaya. So we go back to the notes, the sharing. Then I will continue from there. Then they use the word Dhammakaya. So here, the pure virtue of the Dhamma, they term it as the Dhammakaya, is because this is referring to the Triple Gem, the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. So pure virtue or the Dhammakaya. And the last one is the pure virtue or the Aryan Sangha. That's why these are the three treasure or the triple gem. Starting with the seat of respect for the pure virtue or the three treasure, We can cultivate merits and virtue in the field of blessings of our mind. Then we can engage in worldly mission with a world-transcending spirit and plant fields of blessings and wisdom throughout the world. By extensively sowing seeds of goodness in the mind of sentient beings and cultivating this field, we can grow an entire forest of Bodhi tree. Bodhi is enlightenment. The Bodhi trees are tree of enlightenment that share the same roots. The blessed field, Sangha, is another term for monastics. So the virtue of the Sangha refers to the virtue of monastic practitioner. Although they are monastic, they are still a part of the large community of practitioners. And this is true. Huh? Mm. Within this wider community, everyone must be pure in both body and mind. This collectively manifests the purity of the Sangha. If everyone purifies their own body and mind, it demonstrates the virtue of the Sangha. So here, Sangha doesn't mean only the monastic Sangha. They include all the other enlightened beings. It can be lay people, or Dharma practitioner, or any of these cultivators. Hmm. So this last pure virtue of the Sangha will happen when all the cultivators of the way, they are able to be pure in both body and mind. Then they will collectively manifest the purity of the Sangha. Mm. One day when the Buddha was staying in the city of Rajagriha, he went out with a group of bhikkhu to propagate the Dhamma. The bhikkhu followed him in a dignified and orderly formation. Everyone who saw them approaching from afar felt joy. So they quickly spread the news, swept the streets, and sprinkled the earth with perfumed water before the monastic arrived in the city. Although the Buddha had not yet expounded the Dhamma, upon seeing the magnificence of the Buddha and the Sangha, people were captivated and naturally developed joyful and respectful faith. An arrogant Brahmin thought, when the Buddha expounded the Dhamma, I will ask him difficult questions and see how he responds. But when he saw the respect and earnestness that everyone felt, he began to have doubt. Is the Buddha's virtue that great? Is he truly able to imperceptibly influence people's mind? As the Buddha slowly came closer, everyone naturally kneeled and prostrated before him. By the time the Buddha walked by the Brahmin, his doubt had vanished, and he also voluntarily felt the great respect. Neil put his palm together and praised the Buddha. When the Buddha saw the Brahmin, the Buddha smiled in response to his courtesy. Ananda, seeing the Buddha smile, felt that he was radiating a light filled with serenity and peace from the depth of his heart. It was as if the Buddha was radiating boundless light and hope into the mind of all sentient beings. This is what we meant by the pure virtue of the tree treasure. The pure virtue of the tree treasure can captivate the mind of sentient beings so that everyone gives rise to respect, which will in turn bring blessings. Blessings can soften sentient beings' stubbornness and awaken their gentle, great love and compassion. Wisdom can inspire sentient beings to overcome their doubts. So when we give rise to joy upon hearing the Dhamma, aren't we cultivating blessings and wisdom? This practice of the path to Buddhahood has to be carried out among sentient beings, because the Buddha engaged in spiritual practice and attained enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. After he attained enlightenment, he went among people again to transform them and carry out this mission in the world with a world-transcending spirit. Therefore, if we are not working for or with sentient beings, what we do cannot be considered spiritual practice. Buddhism originated in India, but due to the constraint imposed by time and space, by the society and the environment of that era, it was not easy to spread the Buddha Dharma. We must be grateful for generation after generations of Dharma master who went to great length to transmit the Buddha Dharma so that it could spread to the East and thus give us the chance to receive the Buddhist teaching. With advancement in modern technology, the Buddha's teaching for daily living can be quickly spread to people all around the world. This is the reason there can be Tsuji volunteer in 40 to 50 countries, and why we have been able to provide aid to people in over 70 countries. When the people in these places encounter Tsuji, a Buddhist charity organization, it creates an opportunity to help more people learn about the teachings of Buddhism. Tsuji volunteers are not only listening to the Buddha's teaching, they immerse themselves in the stream of Buddha Dharma so that the Dharma water can constantly nourish them in their lives. For this, we must be grateful to everyone, from Dharma Master Tai Xu, to Dharma Master Ying Sun, who continuously promote the application of the Buddha's teaching in daily living. It is thanks to them that we have the causes and conditions to be immersed in the stream of Dhamma. Therefore, we must immediately seize this precious opportunity to nourish our wisdom life with Dhamma water and sustain this present moment forever. It is rare to encounter the Buddha Dharma, so we must constantly practice according to the Dhamma. We must take the Dhamma that we see, we hear, and understand, and apply it in our daily lives. When we hear a helpful phrase, we must keep it in our mind and share the teaching whenever the opportunity presents itself. This is how we can extend the moment when we hear a particular teaching and make it last forever. If we make applying the Buddha Dharma our spiritual practice in daily living, then we are immersing ourselves in the stream of Dhamma and will be able to learn to eliminate all delusion of views and thinking. As we gradually eliminate this delusion, our mind will become clear like a mirror that is being polished. Then we will be able to clearly discern all conditions without giving rise to affliction or becoming deluded by our environment. This is how we can attain great wisdom and purify or Buddha land. Okay, we will continue to our next adapted verse. Oh, very fast. We are at the 9 merits already. Yeah? After that, another one, we will finish. Yeah, this particular chapter, chapter 3, is about the 10 merits. I will read you the adapted verse. The 9th merit is inconceivable. With the power of vows, we can ascend to the ground of excellent wisdom. Yeah, this is very true. With the unhindered power of eloquence, we can attain purity. Our past karma and severe karmic obstruction will all be completely eliminated at once. We can magnificently achieve all paramitas, means perfection of virtue and wisdom. In sequence, enter the great practice of retaining and upholding and gain the power of diligence. We can enable sentient beings in extreme suffering to achieve liberation. Our goodness will prevail the land of the 10 direction as we engage in spiritual practice according to the Dhamma. We attain the path and the fruitions. So this 9 merits is a very powerful teaching. So I will summarize it for you. So according to this sutta, the Sutta of Infinite Meaning, under chapter 3, the 9 merit is inconceivable. Why? It's because with the power of vows, we can ascend to the ground of excellent wisdom. Means you can finish off your perfection of wisdom and the 10 paramita to become Sammasambuddha. So ascending to the ground of excellent wisdom is what you need to perfect yourself. Then with the unhindered power of eloquence, because once you have this type of wisdom and understanding, you will have unhindered power of eloquence. We can attain purity, means you can teach, you can share. Then with that wisdom and understanding, you can attain purity to teach, to share. Then with that, our past karma and severe karmic obstructions will all be completely rooted out or eliminated at once. Then we can magnificently achieve all paramitas in sequence, means perfection of the 10 perfection. Thereby entering the great practice. So this great practice is very unique, of retaining and upholding and gain the power of diligence, means at that stage when your cultivation has reached that level, it becomes very different. You not only can retain all the understanding, you can also uphold them. And you will gain the power of diligence. You will continuously teach and share. Then you can enable sentient beings in extreme suffering to achieve liberation. Then our goodness will prevail the land of the 10 direction. As we engage in spiritual practice according to the Dhamma, we will attain all the path and the frictions that we need to attain. Okay, we will read on. The earth can nurture and nourish our life with the right amount of air, water, and sunlight. Any seed planted in the land will grow. As we learn the Buddha's way, our hearts should be like the earth. We should continue to nurture sentient beings, seed of goodness, so they can attain the fruits of realization or enlightenment. How do we plant seeds of goodness in the mind of sentient beings? We must first cultivate our own mind, wash away our ignorance with a stream of purity, and diligently cultivate our field of blessings. In this way, we can transform ourselves and others, and together attain the fruits of realization. So in learning the Buddha's way, we must first vow to walk the Bodhisattva path. This is most important. If you don't take the Bodhisattva vow, you cannot become a Sammasambuddha. You cannot learn the Buddha's way. Yeah? Maybe sainthood way possible. Yeah? A Bodhisattva's mind is one of compassion and wisdom. With compassion, we can benefit the world. With wisdom, we can teach and transform sentient beings. So this is very true. Right? You need compassion, you need wisdom. When you are compassionate, you can benefit a lot of people. You can benefit the world. Because being compassionate allows you to have the compassion to share your understanding, to help people. To do all these things. Then with your wisdom, you can teach and transform living beings. That's why the perfection of all great beings is wisdom and virtue. And virtue consists of mainly love and compassion. So compassion and wisdom are the foremost quality that the Bodhisattva will have. So a Bodhisattva's mind is one of compassion and wisdom. That's why they can benefit the world. And they can teach and transform sentient beings. With the heart of a Bodhisattva, it will be like a bridge or a boat that can help ordinary people engage in spiritual cultivation. And reach the other shore, the state of noble ones. Noble ones are enlightened ones, Aryas. Whereas the non-enlightened ones are called Putujanas, ordinary living beings. For Bodhisattva to serve as a bridge or a boat, they must have courage, so that no matter how unenlightened beings step on them to get across, their mind will never waver. Only then can Bodhisattva safely transport sentient beings to the other shore, so that they no longer linger in the dangerous current of ignorance. In the Diamond Sutta, the Buddha also states, "The Dhamma that I teach is like a raft." This analogy is very good. It's like in the olden days, there were no proper boat or transportation on the river or on water. So the primitive people, they tie the logs together and form a raft. So the raft, if you know how to steer it, can take you to the other shore. So according to Diamond Sutta, there is also an analogy. The Diamond Sutta also states, "The Dhamma that the Buddha has taught is like a raft. The Dhamma is like a boat that will enable the boatman and passenger alike to reach the other shore, so that they do not remain caught in the current of ignorance. Once the other shore has been reached, he must leave the boat or the raft to go ashore. You don't go and carry the raft on the boat. So those who attach to Dhamma, they think the Dhamma is very important. They carry it along. So it's like somebody who is so foolish after reaching the other shore. They still carry the raft around thinking that it's important. Because this Dhamma that the Buddha has taught can be realized only by the wise each for themselves. So if you already enlightened, you have already awakened to this Dhamma or truth, you don't need to remember anything. Well, that understanding is already in you. That's why it's connected to the form and mind, or five aggregate of form and mind. That's the five aggregate of form and mind using the mundane mind to develop the meditative understanding and awaken. When the mundane mind realizes itself and sees, then the awakened nature, which is our true mind, our awareness nature, that one will shine forth. Then you become different. You will transform into a noble being, an enlightened being. So when that happens, you're no longer deluded. You're no longer like before. That wisdom that you have realized will always be there. That's why the Buddha called it Yoniso Manasikara. It will shine forth. It will spontaneously bring forth the understanding. You don't need to remember. It's not from memory. It's not in your brain. It's in your nature. The awakening that you have realized. That's why don't try to remember anything. I always said, you know means you know. You don't know means you don't know. The meaning is, when you have the wisdom ready, you don't have to remember. When time of need, when you need the understanding, it will manifest spontaneously. It will come out and prompt you. This is called Yoniso Manasikara. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Manasikara is attention, sense experience, sense contact or attention. Yoniso is wise attention at the moment of sense experience. So without this wisdom, this Yoniso Manasikara cannot shine forth to help you to develop the understanding. But because you already develop it, awaken to it, that's why that form and mind will no longer be deluded. It will not suffer anymore. It will understand. It will know what to do. Then there is no more suffering. You can say the form and mind is enlightened, liberated. But that one is not you. That one is just your vehicle and tool for you to come to this world. That one is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, not a permanent and changing entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. No such thing. So this aspect of the Dhamma is very useful, very important. So hopefully you can make a note of it. I don't want you to just remember it. Remembering is knowledge. Yeah? But you make a note, then later on when you awaken, you will understand. So this Dhamma is like the raft or the boat that can take you across. But when you already realize, reach the other shore, don't carry it along. Don't attach to it, don't be thick. Don't go and think or believe that you must have this Dhamma knowledge. You must commit it to memory and every time refer to it. That is the way of the thought process, mundane mind, knowledge based, not wisdom based. Whereas the awareness based, wisdom based style of cultivation is to realize the truth, awaken, and that's it. After that, it's always there, connected to your nature. Okay, I'll read on. The Dhamma is like a boat that will enable the boatman and the passenger alike to reach the other shore, so that they do not remain caught in the current of ignorance. Once the other shore has been reached, we must leave the boat to go ashore. We must not become attached to the Dhamma itself, see? Here is a reminder again. Once we have taken the Dhamma to heart, every time we take another step forward, we must pick up our back step. This is the only way we can continue to move forward step by step. So the nine merits talks about the inconceivable power of vows, because the power from forming aspiration and taking vows or making vows enable us to move forward on the Bodhisattva path. This is how we can move through each of the 10 grounds of the Bodhisattva practices of cultivation. So this 10 ground is another way of subdividing the practices. The 9th ground is the ground of excellent wisdom. To be excellent means to be free of evil, to be perfect. Wisdom refers to pure wisdom. With the power of our vows, we can reach the ground of excellent wisdom. When we reach this state, we can attain purity with the unhindered power of eloquence. This refers to the wisdom of unobstructed meaning, of unobstructed Dhamma, of unobstructed rhetoric, and so on. The Lotus Sutra states, they attain a state of non-retreating, means you are sure you will never retreat after that, and have the unhindered power of eloquence, means by then you are sure to move forward and never regress. The word should be regress. Then you will have this unhindered power of eloquence, means you can share the Dhamma, preach the Dhamma, or speak the Dhamma, or proclaim the Dhamma in a very excellent way. Because we have already clearly realized the principle, we can adapt the teaching to suit sentient beings' spirit's capacity. This is very true. When you have already realized the principle thoroughly, then you can adopt or adapt the teaching to suit sentient beings' varying capacity and teach them accordingly. We can guide them with skillful means, tame all kinds of afflictions. This is also very true. Easily deal with people and matters in the world, and naturally feel free and at peace. This will be the quality of that cultivator. Thus, we can transform sentient beings without hindrance. So when you have reached that stage of cultivation, you will have all this ability, which is very true. Because my nature went through and I really saw all this. Then I realized after I had developed the understanding, later on, when I came out to share at a later period, I realized it became easier and easier and easier. And all these things is like what is mentioned here. You can guide them with skillful means. Then after that, you can tame all kind of suffering or affliction, means you know how to resolve their issue and their problem. Then you can easily deal with people and situation in the world and naturally feel free and at peace. Thus, you can transform sentient beings without any issue at all or any hindrance. But if you deludedly cling to habitual tendency formed by past karma and severe coming obstruction, our ignorance will hinder us from understanding anything. So this is the danger. you deliberately cling to habitual tendency formed by past coming, especially those severe coming obstruction, then your ignorance will hinder you from understanding anything. That means you will not make progress in your cultivation. Then even if you listen to more and more teaching, we still will not be able to open up our mind because you hold on to your view tenaciously. So we must first diligently learn to get rid of our karma. Then our past karma and severe obstruction will be completely eliminated at once. To do this, you need wisdom, understanding, because nothing frees the mind except wisdom. Sentient beings still experience the hindrance of knowledge and affliction. This one is really true. In Mahayana teaching, it is termed 所知障, 烦恼障. So hindrance of knowledge is whatever you know, your knowledge. 所知障, that is an obstruction. 障 is 障碍. Then 烦恼障 means your affliction, your worry. All these become an obstruction. So knowledge and affliction will become obstruction if you cling on to it. So the unenlightened beings will experience this two type of hindrance or obstruction. Knowledge and affliction. But if we can practice and enter the Dhamma door of four infinite minds and the six perfections, we can layer by layer eliminate our affliction, past karma and severe coming obstruction. Then we can achieve all perfection parameters in sequence. Enter the great practice of retaining and upholding and gain the power of diligence. We can enable sentient being to extreme in extreme suffering to achieve liberation. Our goodness will prevail the land of the 10th direction. So this one is from the adapter verse. The stages of Bodhisattva practice are arranged magnificently, and we must advance through them diligently. Then we can enter the practice of retaining and upholding and become replete with the power of diligence. The practice of retaining and upholding means to retain all goodness and uphold all virtue or virtuous teaching. When we head in the right direction and progress diligently down the path, we can spread wholesome thought and teach throughout the land of the 10th direction and help sentient beings achieve liberation from suffering. Since we have resolved to do this, we must maintain our spiritual aspiration and continue to walk the Bodhisattva way on the path of truth, experiencing the wonderful scenery along the way. So this is most beautiful, you can understand. As ordinary beings, we also experience the natural course of life, birth, old age, sickness, and death. These are the four realities. Our physical life cannot last forever. No one can predict how long we will live. Only the pure Tathagata, only the pure Tathagata nature that has existed since beginningless time, our Dhammakaya and wisdom life, is truly indestructible. As we engage in spiritual practice according to the Dhamma, we can attain the path and friction. If we believe in and accept the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, mindfully realize its meaning, apply them in our thoughts and action, uphold the true Dhamma and walk on the great Bodhi path, then we can truly attain the indestructible Dhammakaya. Means realize the indestructible Dhammakaya, Sambhogayakaya or Dhamma. Oh, sorry, the Dhamma body. And return to the pure intrinsic Buddha nature. Okay, I think we will stop here. Then we will open up for meditation reporting.
Maybe share this meditation experience on Sunday.
Ah, good.
The 45 minutes of meditation session.
Yeah, awareness-based, 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Yeah, that will be a record.
So, as usual, I was like a sort of a habit ready to lie down and
meditate. Sadhu.
I don't know whether it's good or not. No,
it's good.
Less of sitting up to meditate.
You can alternate because this will initially happen because you're not used to it, where you have been sitting most of your time. Then suddenly you move into the lying down posture. So you can actually alternate and find out for yourself. In fact, both has its purpose. There are time to sit. There are time to lie down and just relax, maintain awareness. Because the sitting one is for people who has that posture developed over a period of time. Like in the early days, I was very used to sitting because my anapanasati was very good. So when I sit, I become peaceful and calm very fast. Then I actually have a preference. But later on, as I develop this ability to relax, maintain awareness, I realize the lying down posture is the most relaxed, stress-free. I don't have to cross my leg. I don't have to build up anything. I just relax and maintain. So it's a different form of meditation, a different type of experience. But this lying down is easier to actually go into deep cessation for a longer period because you don't move. You naturally relax and maintain awareness. Then the cessation comes, it stays there very long. Whereas the sitting one, most of the time, you will go through the glimpse. Then, of course, sometimes for those who are already very familiar with sitting, they can also go into the cessation for a longer period. But some of these who do the sitting one, they may develop energy field. They may think that it's cessation, but that one is not really cessation. It's a form of concentration. They call it sahampati. Sahampati. Sahampati is actually, sometimes they call it nirodha sahampati. Sama or sahampati, I forgot already. It's nirodha cessation. But it's a type of sahampati or samanpati, I don't know how to pronounce it. So there are three types of concentration, they used to say. So first, they go into, they call it the jhanas, the jhana. Then after that, they go into what they call dhyan. Dhyana, I think the Maya call it. Then the last one is this sahampati. So if you go into that one is not nibbana. That one also can go in for a long period. That one the Hindu and all those yogi, they can do it for many days. So that one is different. But if you want to realize cessation, which is the Nibbanic cessation, the enlightenment, the one that go into wisdom, they call it the Panya Vimuti. So that one, you have to be completely relaxed, maintain awareness that mind must be the silent mind. It must not involve any thought or any energy field. It must not go into absorption or what they call apana samadhi, going into sahampati, where there is really no thought, nothing, everything like this, but there is no knowing, nothing inside there. Yeah. Which is different from the Nibbana experience, where the mundane mind sees, the pure awareness also sees, also no more. Then you realize that three areas of consciousness that activate the brain, the heart, and the tantian to animate the human being or living being into a living form. That three areas of consciousness also return and cease. But you didn't die. No habit, nothing. Everything ceases. So that one, you want to realize it for a longer period. I realize the lying down posture is very suitable. In the early days when I went in, I was in the lying down posture. And it lasted very long. Very long. And it depends on how your cultivation is. Sometimes it will go in for a period long enough for you to understand. Then you will come out. And when you come out from it, you will know what existence is about. How life comes about. How the form and mind return to its what they call normal activity, is how the living being, how it starts its life again. So what happened is, upon coming out of cessation, because your five aggregate of form and mind, it is still not due to end yet. You still have that life to continue. So they call it, they call it by a certain name. And because of that, it will come back. It will not go into parinibbana. If you already cease and go into parinibbana, means no more form and mind coming back. But once that one come back, means is for you to understand and to see. Then you will see how creation starts. How that form and mind animate back into what it is. Like last Tuesday, before the meditation start, the pre-instruction, you go and listen to it. I describe it. How upon the first pure awareness moment, when it come back, when it come out of the cessation, how that three area of consciousness separated and go back to the brain. One go to the brain and animate the thing, like I used to explain last time, like a dynamo start again. Yeah. Before that, when it sees the brain, like completely no activity. No activity at all, no movement at all, still, even the pure energy or no more. Even the heart area is the same, that's why no heartbeat. Then the tantian area is the same. That's why the whole thing is like no activity at all. But it is very different, because this one is unconditioned. You cannot talk about it, you cannot describe it. But that state, you are not dead on. You are not dead on. Yeah. Very strange. So what I want you to understand me is, don't be afraid of this lying down meditation. Just do it. Have faith and just do it. When the time comes to do, you just do. Then stabilize it. Then let it be. When you are able to stay at the heart area until very, very stable, then when your wisdom is very stable, think also like that, don't think also like that. Then suddenly it will connect to and it will happen. And when it happens, it's normally without any sign or anticipation, or you cannot anticipate it. When you anticipate, it cannot come on. When you just let things be, then suddenly you will go in. Then it will happen, the cessation. Then after it happened, how long, the nature will decide. Then it will come out. So this one is for you to have an understanding so that you don't have that fear. So sadhu to you, Amy, if you can do that, it will be very beautiful. So you continue to maybe describe what happened during your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. You are in the lying down posture. Just now you mentioned the word, you don't know whether it was good or what, because it's normal for you to have this type of mind that has a little bit of doubt because you are more used to sitting. Then when you don't see this like something not natural, not right, so you will go through, you will understand, don't worry. Okay, Amy, you continue.
Thank you, Sadhu Vratya, for remind and advise me on this assurance of lying down and silent meditation. Thank you very much. So during that session, I don't know what our session is usually about 4 o'clock, after 4 o'clock, 4 plus, something
about
like that.
4:05 or 4:10 like that.
So as usual, I was lying down aware external and internally. So aware on the breathing, and then sometimes alternately aware of the heartbeats. And so this Muslim chanting will come around, I think, don't know what time, 4 plus. So I just aware of it. I aware of the blowing of the fan, then suddenly how to say?
Shift of consciousness. Like, sudden shift, become very quiet.
Everything become very quiet. I'm not conscious like that.
Correct. It will shift into that shift. We call it the shift of consciousness. Means your consciousness suddenly shifting. Means it's trying to become quiet already. Means that quiet is a natural state. It's not even trying to maintain awareness anymore. Initially, it's to maintain, because you have to maintain, because that is the only way to maintain alertness, to be aware of the silent mind. But later on, when you realize the shift, the quietness, the stillness and all things, it will happen in that way, exactly like what you experience. So when that thing happens, it's very beautiful. Well, that is going into the true mind itself to let you understand what that thing is. That thing is actually word cannot describe, but it's very near the mundane mind. But because it has shifted, it is no longer that gross awareness anymore, like you aware of external, internal no more. It's now that nature, that tranquility, that stillness, that silent. This silent is a very deep, more refined type of silent. It's just like just now you mentioned, it's like you
unconscious, don't know anything like that.
Correct. You like go into that state, but it's not a blank state yet. It is still that very subtle awareness inside there. So you just let it be. Then during that time, if you can feel your heartbeat or what, you realize the heartbeat also like slow down until like very, very faint. Like sometimes you cannot feel it. You cannot feel it. Then like there is nothing at all. That any of the movement within is like very clear to you. Then how from that nature you want to come out and create whatever activity or knowing is not yet active, no, it's still very subtle, you will be able to be aware. And you can stay in that state. And that state is very beautiful. When you come out of it, you will understand many things. Then you will know that there is another, I used to call it the more refined sati or awareness. Then when you come out of it, your mind can enter sati actually. Because during that phase, it's like continuous, subtle, very subtle type of tranquility and stillness. That nature is very different. That true mind, that true nature, means you are able to go in and perceive it at a different level. That's why there is a shift of consciousness. Then all the gross awareness, everything, they like no more. Then you go in. Then if you continue to relax and let things be, it will suddenly like still, completely no movement at all, still. Then from that stillness, that moment, you are no one. From there, thing arise. That is your true mind. That is your actually glimpse of Nibbana. Then later on, it will move again. It will change again. And many other things will happen. So continue to let it happen. Then don't try to know, don't do anything, just relax. The most important thing is during that phase, you must relax. If you are not able to relax deep into it, then it will like reach a limit, cannot go in anymore. That's why the key is trust. That time you must do trust. Trust means don't try to know, don't interfere with the thought, don't try to do anything, just trust that nature to do. Just let it be. Even if you want to go into whatever, let it be. Then if your wisdom has reached a level where it can prompt you, it's a type of yoniso manasikara. Because think also like that, don't think also like that. No different. Then why want to think? Then that mundane mind will completely cease. There is no more of this subtle movement towards the mundane mind in a very subtle way. Even that one also ceases. When you can do that, all of a sudden, that cessation will happen. I remember through that wisdom, it came, it happened. Then when it happened, no word to describe anymore. Then the whole process is just the unconditioned. Then later on, when my nature come out of it, then only I understand what this thing is. Yeah. That's why you can reach that, which is the most beautiful. Yeah. Then my nature will start to feel rejoice. But for what you have gone through is already very good. But do continue to relax and let it happen. Yeah. Then you can continue to describe after that what happened.
So wonderful to hear Brother Teo explaining. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So I don't know for how long that, as though I don't know anything. Then when I start to aware again, is the blowing fan feeling again.
All the blowing perception fan
come back to you. Yes. All the other external perception will come back to you. Yes.
Yeah. That time is just feel the blowing. So
Yeah. The sensation on your tactile and all those things. Then later on your hearing all will pick it up again.
The next thing I aware is that the Muslim chanting again like a sound recur in the brain or something like that.
Revibration.
What I aware the last thing maybe right. Was that, and then now come back to the same thing.
It revibrate. It revibrate inside there. Yes, so it can happen.
At first, I was just blur. I said, I never think. I just know that the chanting again. yeah. After that, I just continue to aware, relax, and then this avijja pachaya sankhara.
Oh, sadhu.
Sankhara pachaya vijnana. This phrase appear in my mind.
Ah, sadhu. Means your nature is trying to trigger understanding for you. Avijja pachaya sankhara. During that state, the first thing that come out is the sankhara activity. So if you don't have avijja, it actually doesn't arise. That's why avijja pachaya sankhara is the first activity of mind of the normal living being, normal human being. So this thought activity or sankhara activity behind is always avijja. But once your wisdom is already there, once you have actually realized, awakened, and transformed, and stabilized later on, then this one, the wisdom will protect you. Then this avijja pachaya sankhara, the so-called, I don't call it heedless thinking, because by then you are not heedless really, but sometimes, like, not important type of thinking, you understand or not important type of sankhara activity or thinking, you won't do already on. Yeah, you know no meaning already on. Think also like that, don't think also like that. But you also know to live life, you have to use thought. You also know. And you will know how to use it. So that is the big difference. So avijja pachaya sankhara, that nature's like condition for you to develop that wisdom and understanding is very beautiful. Because when it prompts you with that, later on when you come out, you reflect and you contemplate, you will understand what that thing is. Because when you are in that state of transformed mind, when you are with that true nature, there is no thinking, nothing. And when it starts to come out and try to develop thought process, it's still very fine, very subtle. Then you see the movement. So initially, it's just follow nature's condition. It's not avijja. Then later on, when you become conscious, when you come out of it, then when you come back into life and existence, then you realize the mundane mind come back. The mundane mind come back and create mundane thinking. That one, you will know how to differentiate already. Because the one without Dhamma one, they will think because of avijja. That's why one thing to know, one thing to experience, then want to know why like that. Like I used to tell Brother Song, the analytical mind will go and analyze and reason. Why like that? How come like that? Like the wonderful experience. So this one, it will still come back to the back door to actually condition further subtle mundane thinking behind. So all this you will pick up. Once your wisdom stabilizes and the understanding come about, it will pick all this up and you will know how it happened and what it is trying to do to you. That's why I can advise Brother Song and all those things. So for your case, when this avijja pachaya sankhara come out, when you know the Pali word, you know the chanting, it will help you. It can let you understand very clearly. So did the whole paticca samuppada all run through, or just the first two link? Indeed? Hello?
Yeah. Okay, I couldn't find the microphone. It's until sankhara and then vinyana, until vinyana.
Okay, good enough. This three link, good enough. Because avijja pachaya sankhara will be very clear. Then when that sankhara within the subtle fine mind state, you will know the difference between last time and this time is different. Then sankhara pachaya vijnana, that link it will become very clear to you. Because how the mind make contact with the brain, then from there it create mental consciousness. Then the mental consciousness that come out, you will also see it's just that consciousness, that pure consciousness. The content hasn't gone in. Then later on, after you come out back to normal again, then only you can see the content go in. Because when you are inside there, that wisdom prevent you from inputting the content. That's why the enlightened being, their mind also function, but there is no more avijja. So because no more avijja, there is also sankhara, because you have the senses. Upon contact, the consciousness arise. Then your content doesn't go in. Then later on, when your content go in, it become a thought, but it become pure thought, right thought. Because the content that go in is with wisdom, yoni so manasikara. That's why the Noble Eightfold Power will be with you. As a cultivator, you will no longer be like a normal human being. The mind will always stir and react. Because at avijja paccaya sankhara, the ignorant will condition mental activity, thinking. Then the brain is an organ. So that thinking will make contact with the brain. The brain, like the physics experiment, upon contact, it triggers consciousness. So this consciousness is from the mundane mind. Initially, it's pure. But when they are still ignorant, the views, opinion, conditioning, and the belief system, everything, the habitual tendency, they will come and the content will go in very fast. And that one is with avijja. You will see all this. You will understand all this. That's why after that, you can teach. You can share with people. This is what happened inside that, the dwelling. So when you come out of that subtle mind state, you start to see all this. And sometimes like your case, in fact, a lot of cultivators also get the message, and some they all may get it through the training and all those things when the six patriarchs, where they are more affinity with that type of teaching. For you, it's more of the Pali words and the Pali term. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara come out. Then for me, in the early day, the rupang, anicchang, all those things, it come out. It come out. Well, to me, it's very clear. Very clear. Then I saw it inside there. So that link become very clear. That's why the link of paticca samuppada become very clear. Then when you come out, you understand the thing clearly. And then you know how the ordinary puttajana or mundane sentient being, how they entangle themselves and get themselves afflicted through this paticca samuppada, the dwelling. And it's always at the vijnanang. Vijnanang paccaya nama rup, they're very fast. They all actually avijja paccaya sankhara, straight away the nama rupa come out already, the thought come out already. They stir, they react already, very fast. They cannot even see the pure vijnanang. That's why in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. That part they cannot see. That part only cultivator can see before the input of content of consciousness. So as you go through all this, when you come out, when this thing prompts you, you will have the understanding. Then when you later on reflect on it, after you have come out, you will start to understand. Then you will start to see clearer and clearer as you go through this transformation phase. That's why you continue to relax, maintain awareness, and let the mind become more and more quiet, more and more subtle, until the shift of consciousness comes, until you are very clear and stable about that true mind, the silent mind, that nature. Like I say, after that, a lot more things can happen. So be patient, relax, and maintain awareness, and let things be. Don't try to know. Don't do anything.
Yeah.
You can continue. English.
So when that phrase or something that like until vinyanang, that when it came out, I just aware, and then after that I go back to my I think I can remember the breathing, yeah. Mm. I go back to the breathing, yes.
The breathing, so come back, yeah. Sadhu. Yeah. Mm. Very
so,
good.
That's what I wish to
share. Yeah. Sadhu, very good. So this is 45 minutes. Later on, it can be 1.5 hour, 2 hour. Then a lot of other things will happen. Then just let it be. Where this phase is unending.
Mm-hmm.
This one is only cultivator who know how to do this awareness-based approach, meditation, can go through and experience all this. If you are in the other posture, which is especially those who do sitting one, I think their habitual way of meditating prevent them from going into such subtle mind state, the relaxed awareness, they cannot, because their legs are crossed and a lot of the thing they need energy to move them. Then for us to do anapanasati, I remember our only help or consolation is when we reach the subtle breathing or like no more breathing, our breath like become very short, and later on like no more breathing is actually internal breathing. And when you reach that stage, means your awareness has also transformed and become more refined state and more subtle, and that one will make you more sensitive. Then you will know how to relax more into it during that stage. That's why I remember that one helped me. That one helped me. Then after that, I come out and develop the continuity of mindfulness. Means my mind enters sati. That's why I know how mind enters sati. When the mind becomes very quiet and very still, like no more breathing, even the subtle breathing all become like you cannot feel them. Then later on, you continue to maintain mindfulness and awareness. In the form of meditation, it's the same. Like you cannot feel anything, right? No more happy, nothing already. Yeah. But you continue to relax and maintain awareness and silence. Then all of a sudden, the more refined type of mindfulness will surface. That true mind, that nature which is very subtle, will surface. Then that movement is different again. Very clear but very fine. It's normal people cannot experience it, cannot feel it, cannot understand. Then your nature can. Your nature has the ability. That's why this is what draws the line between the true cultivator who understand and the normal one that do the other type of thought-based energy field type of meditation. Yeah. With that one, I realize they find it very difficult to relax. They don't even know that when your object of meditation becomes very subtle, like hardly perceivable, then they go and do something else, like sitting, touching. No, you're supposed to continue to silent and let things be. Then let the awareness nature come back. Let the more refined sati come back. Then when you are able to be aware with that very fine mind, very subtle type of true mind, this mind becomes continuous. It's like there is a continuous awareness. That everything you do is like continue. That's why you have specific phenomenal awareness. Like your whatever movement is like magnified, and you are with it. That's why the awareness is with it. Then when you come out, everything you do is in sati. I realize all my kaya movement, all in sati. Then my whatever smell, taste is very fine, all in sati. Then my sensation, everything become very fine. Hearing also very fine, all in sati. Like there is a flow. That everything is like magnified, heightened for me to understand, for me to see clearly and understand. That's why your senses become different. Even your thinking also different, like slow motion like that for you to see. Then your activity of mind, how you can stop at the moment of feeling, at the moment of perception. After that, there's a movement. The normal human being, the moment you perceive, the views, opinion, and conditioning come in. The labeling, the vocalization, the chattering, all come in. But when you are in that type of mindfulness and awareness, that fine sati or two mind, that awareness is so stable. The aggregate of mind, you can be at that moment. Moment of feeling is stopped. That's why it's pure feeling. It does not condition craving. Moment of perception. The moment it perceives, it stops. It doesn't continue. The brain, the memory, the conditioning, the views, opinion, the habitual, doesn't come and stir it or disturb it. That's why perception becomes pure perception. Feeling becomes pure feeling. Then all your thought process also become pure. Without the ego root, is the universal manasika. Whatever content that goes in is all your virtue, your understanding. That's why you will act according to understanding, following the Dhamma way. So this sankhara activity is like slow down for you to see that how you actually arise a thought, how actually you become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you feel. You can be at the moment of consciousness before the content going, before the perception, movement, the discussion. You can just stay there. Then this thing become like continuous, I call it specific phenomenal awareness. But you just aware, no thinking, nothing. You want to know, you can know. You want to arise a thought because you are driving or you are living life, you can, no problem. But they will be very clear, discrete. It will not like proliferate and draw you away and become heedless or create fear or all those emotions. Cannot really, no more already. So all this will happen when you do it correctly with understanding. That's why this understanding of developing the ability to relax and maintain awareness until the very fine and subtle true mind or awareness surface. Then later on, it becomes the supramundane mind because the mundane mind will collapse later on. After the mundane mind collapse, the mind that come out is the supramundane mind. And the process before the mundane mind collapse, I remember about 9 months for my case. Also, a lot of things in between will happen. That's why I was trying to share with you all just now. There are still a lot of things that I have not had the condition to share because very few people can do until there. And like your case, now I'm able to go into all this area. You start to actually stumble upon this type of transformation and activity. So these are very beautiful conditions for the understanding to surface. If it's meant to be, will be. So maybe you go back and listen to this again. It will help you a lot because you have the ability to understand. Then later on, it will become very beautiful and you will understand it very well. Sadhu.
In fact, like what you say just now, in the midst of life, daily life, whenever I was aware of something or some feeling or some negativity, the phrase, right there, always use a phrase, always prompt me.
It will prompt you. The Dhamma will come out and prompt you. You were not like last time already. Both song and other things, no more.
The phrase is very useful to me.
Yes.
Aware, finish. Aware, finish.
That one is so most beautiful.
Very applicable, applying to my daily life.
Because no reality. 一切有为法吗？如梦幻泡影吗？如露亦如电，应作如是观。Where you know Mandarin, this one will become the Diamond Sutra Dhamma, which is very penetrative and very clear.
Yeah, when you talk about this, of the experience also, I think early morning meditation session, the one after wake up from sleep already. And then this phrase come out, long, the Mandarin one, is it?
Each year you wait for,
It's a little bit different. It's like, 何必要抓紧不放?
Okay.
根本,
it's for you to understand. Yeah, your nature talk to you.
要抓紧不放, it 根本就是, 根本就是, 什么, 根本就是, 梦, 根本就是放, 根本就是泡, 根本就是影。根本就是露，根本就是电。
啊，沙度，如梦幻泡影，如露亦如电。
它不是如 ，it's no more as if like that. It's
really like that. Why do you hold? Because it is just dreamlike, illusionary. Then like a bubble shadow, then like the morning dew.When conditions is to be, is gone, very short, transient, then lightning flash means within seconds, not even minutes, seconds is gone. That one refer to our sankhara activity, our feeling, our thought movement. That one very fast, is like lightning flash, gone already.
Yeah, then it ends with that saying,是时候醒来了。
哇，沙度，哇，沙度，沙度。Means your nature has already prompted you and shared with you the way you can understand it because you are Mandarin educated. And this is the way that will relate to you. That's why you receive it that way. Very beautiful, sa du, rejoice. In fact, the Dhamma that surfaces and prompts us during deep meditative state is the most beautiful, most powerful. In fact, most of this understanding that my nature has, I receive it through the deep meditative state. Then it arises, it surfaces. But of course, the bulk of it is from my past, from my past. That's why it will come back to me.Then my nature know that this thing is like that one. So like you asked me how I know. I told you this lie I never learned. No teacher taught me that. But how I understand? Like the Bodhisattva vow and all those things, how to put them in that order. You go and check. The book never teach this way. And most people's Bodhisattva vow is just a four basic vow, the Bodhisattva. They didn't elaborate much.But their individual vow, they elaborate. But they didn't form the complete understanding to break karmic obstruction, to have the very important right view and beautiful, important Dhamma, the two aspects of the five grid of form and mind. These are the most important understanding my nature realized that I must have life after life whenever I choose to come or I have to come. That's why I put them all down.You cannot find in other area. And in fact, very seldom you can find a book on the Bodhisattva way. Very few people write. Maybe they write general, but how to cultivate and how to develop all these aspiration vows, additional vow, and all the other related things to break karmic obstruction and all those things, you cannot find this type of complete comprehensive, which I was able to put into four pages under the yellow card. So all this, I inherit from my past. Because this life, I never learned them. But when the Dhamma came back to me,I can understand all this very clearly, and I realize these are very important things. That's why I am able to write it out and give it to you all. Yeah, this is what Maitreya wants me to share with the world. 请你把正法传下去。So these are all meant to be, will be, and very beautiful. So sadhu to you, Amy. Oh, more and more things is happening, sadhu.
I would like to share some of my experience in my daily mindfulness, I would say. Recently, I realized I can be aware more easily.
Sadhu. Very good.
And I'm calmer, more relaxed, and my senses are very, very, very sensitive.
Oh, good. Sadhu.
The hearing and the smelling. Like the hearing, I can hear very far vibration coming in. The vibration of the LRT that near.
Yeah. Means you are now able to spend more time on that consciousness itself, which is good. Well, most of the time, the mundane mind is too busy thinking, no time to be aware. But when you say you are more sensitive and heightened, means your awareness, if you want to be at that particular sense or activity, then you can go there and maybe go through that sensitivity or mindfulness. So this is just the beginning. If you can do that, means you have more time to be aware, less time to be like engaged in thinking activity, sankara activity, the heedless thinking. But this one also involves thinking. Is still not at the continuous daily mindfulness. When it's at the continuous daily mindfulness, you just aware until the mindfulness become continuous. Then suddenly the mind enters sati. Remember this, Pamasri, the mind enters sati. You must do it until the mindfulness become very stable. Don't try to know. Don't try to like interpret what I mean by you become very sensitive, heightened awareness. This one is the result of the mind entering sati, then only you can feel all this. But what you are trying to experience is based on what you described just now, is you interpret it as you are more sensitive because you can hear more distant sound and all. That one, to a certain extent, is still thought activity. But in certain cases, when you go through this phase of training, when you are very determined, you can have that type of like more sensitive to this type of sense experience. But always remember, this one is more for the initial practice and cultivation. When you know you are going through all this, it's a good sign. But most important is, always remember, develop the mindfulness until it becomes continuous. Until throughout the day you are aware. Don't try to know yet. The trying to know can be a hindrance. So when you do until the mind enters the deep. When the mind enters sati, you will know. Then you suddenly realize everything you do is in sati. Your hand movement, your bodily posture, everything you do, turning, bending, stretching, the awareness is there. Even when you move your hand to take something, when you see it's in sati, when that phase happens, then you will know. On your own, you will understand what that thing. Then you will become like full of joy. Hey, so strange. How come the mind now like that? Things that you cannot see before, now you can see. But when the mind enters sati, the very subtle mental intention, all those very fine mind state that normal people cannot see, you start to see. Your subtle mental intention, very fine one, the sankara, what they call very fine type of self-conceit or egoic thinking, the egoic thought and all, you start to see them. The normal people cannot see because they are heedless until the gross thinking overwhelms them. Yeah. But as you develop more and more stability of mindfulness and sati, your mind becomes very, very different. That it is most of the time aware. And when it's most of the time aware, the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, a lot of things you never see before, you start to see. So remember that one. Yeah? So what you have gone through is initial progress on your cultivation where you determine, which is good. But the real transformation will only happen when you just diligently, with faith, continuously do until the mind enters sati. For mind to enter sati, your mindfulness must be continuous throughout the day. Just do like bowing. Just bow. Bow until body and mind move as one. Walk. Walk until body and mind move as one. Then everything you do, maintain awareness, maintain mindfulness. Then go back to your heart. Then when you lie down to meditate, maintain awareness. Sit also, say, maintain awareness. Everything you do, you maintain awareness until that awareness nature become continuous. That will lead to the real penetrative transformation. Then you will become very different after that. Okay?
Actually, sometimes I have glimpses of that, what you say, when your hand stretches out to...
Yeah, you will start to see that.
You can see that.
But don't be excited yet, because that one is just the beginning. You have to do until it become a part of you. Until that continuous movement, awareness, everything you do, the awareness is with it. You will know one. The form and mind that has that will know. That's why when mind enters sati, you will know. Then when you do your sitting, your object of meditation, let it settle down until you become very subtle and very still.
Once you can do that,
means you are moving towards that stage of mind entering sati. Well, in a formal meditation, you cannot do it. Then in the daily life, it's very difficult. So formal meditation, you should be able to settle in fast. After that, when you come out of it, maintain the continuity. The daily mindfulness activity must be maintained throughout the day. That's why you have to be dead serious. I remember that 3 years, 87, 88, 89, I was dead serious, continuous mindfulness and awareness. So it will come. So remember that.
But Bhatio, I feel I settle in faster when I'm sitting.
Oh, definitely, because that is formal meditation. Your senses are not active. But when you are in the daily life, when your senses are active, because your six sense door, they are active, you have to live life. That one also, you can stabilize it. That's why that daily mindfulness is not easy to stabilize, but it can be done. You determine to be aware throughout the day. Everything you do, aware, aware, aware. Don't try to know. Like, and be caught the face. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. You know or not? Aware, finish. Like specific phenomena.
I proliferate less already. I realize when I aware, it's like there's a break that,
Correct. But you don't... You don't allow the thought to condition you not to think.
The moment I aware that it automatically, it just stopped there already.
Not so fast on. Not until your awareness become very stable. You may think it stopped there because you are using your so-called Dhamma understanding and knowledge to actually look at it is very different. When the actual thing happened, is totally different. So, but what you have gone through is not bad. It's the initial phase where most people who doesn't know how to do, but at least they try. After they hear or they try, it's not easy to go in on. Like Amy's case also is the same, because if she don't describe until today, I cannot say further. where she was actually earlier on doing a lot of those when he wake up in the morning, the aware external, aware internal. But the aware internal one is more important. Then when the internal stabilize, the external awareness become automatic. The oneness and all that. That's why you have to experience all this. That allow the mind to go in some more, become more and more quiet, more and more quiet. So for your case, it's the same. You have to allow the daily mindfulness to become very stable until your mind is extraordinarily mindful, until it becomes a part of you. Then mind enters sati. That phase that I described is not easy to get. So you continue to do. Don't try to know. Don't try to understand whether you have progress or not. That one, leave it later. When the form and mind understand that it has progressed, means you really progress already. Because this Dhamma is Pachetang. The form and mind that does it will know when it reach those practices or state of cultivation. Then it will have the understanding on its own. Then that time you will describe it differently, which is important to take note. So for your particular case, it's a good sign of progress, but continue to develop the stability of daily mindfulness. Then the formal meditation also continue to relax until the mind becomes very quiet, until mind enters sati. Then come out of it, try to develop the continuity of daily mindfulness until it becomes a part of you, until your sati becomes very, very stable. Just do that. Then you will progress. You will become beautiful. Okay? Yeah.
Ratio, there's one more thing. I can feel the... Is this experience? I can feel the nature's vibration come into the ears and dissipate at the heart area.
Oh, that one is also a good sign. Huh? But don't be excited by all this experience. Like I said, it is the transformation that can give rise to wisdom, which is more important. Do you understand? Not? What you describe could be moments or glimpses of that mind state, because you determine and you do this and now you are more aware, more mindful, but it has not reached the state of continuity. And because of that, it allows you to experience certain things at certain time. So during that time, when you experience it, of course, is a good sign. Sign of the mind has somehow developed some understanding of this, but it is not wisdom yet because the stability is not there. So you continue to do. Don't like be excited over it. You can have joy, of course, but don't like become complacent after that. The key in progress is continuously do until the mind enters sati. That one very important. Until your daily mindfulness become very stable. Until everything you do, you are aware. Then you will know during that time. The mind that is in that state will understand. There are a lot of things you never see before you start to see. Then when you start to see all this, the Dhamma will flower. The Dhamma will shine forth. The understanding will shine. Then the aha moment will come. You will be prompted by the Dhamma words and all those things. Then a lot of things will happen within your nature and your heart area. So all this, listen to it, then don't try to follow, just do. Like I say, when you do, just do. Don't try to know. Don't try to do other things that is not useful, not fruitful. The fruitful one is maintain stability of mindfulness and awareness. Just do your daily religious routine, your bodhisattva vow, just do. Then make aspiration, firm aspiration, that it will come. Everything will fall into place. Okay?
Thank you.
Very good. So let us rejoice, rejoice in the good sharing by Sister Amy and Sister Pamasri. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.